بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الله سبحانه وتعالى extols the praise and the virtue of Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم in the Quran Sharif. النبي الأمي الذي يجدونه مكتوبا عندهم في التوراة والإنجيل يأمرهم بالمعروف وينهاهم عن المنكر ويحل لهم الطيبات ويحرم عليهم الخبائث ويضع عنهم إسرهم والأغلال التي كانت عليهم. موسى عليه السلام, when he heard about a special mercy being showered, then he was aspiring if his ummah could be the recipient of the special mercy. As the Quran Sharif says, إِنَّ وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِيَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ فَسَأَكْتُبُهَا لِلَّذِينَ يَتَّقُونَ. My mercy, it covers everything. Shaitan had met up with Sahal bin Abdullah Tastari rahmatullah alayhi. And Shaitan deceives people according to their knowledge, their understanding, and their status. He won't deceive everybody in one style, in one way. If a person is regular in his namaz, then he won't turn him away from namaz, because he knows it's wasting time. Somehow, some way or the other, he is going to perform namaz. So this is not the right way to mislead him. So, but he has got it in his mind that I must mislead. How must I mislead? So then he looks for a way for each individual. For some person he will look for a way. Let's create a fight and an argument between him and his wife. So one way, he's found one way to destroy the person. But now how to destroy him, how to get him. So otherwise he's pious, he's come to namaz, etc. But at home, he's fighting away. And he doesn't realize that that fighting is causing a lot of distress in his life. Our ulama-i kiram say that this domestic fight, ye tamam jagro ka murgha hai, it's a root for all problems. When a person is not happy at home, then he's going to be miserable elsewhere. In his work he'll be miserable. If he's in the masjid, he'll be miserable. If he's attending to something, he can't concentrate and focus correctly. Amongst his friends, he won't be normal. So his performance will definitely be affected. And the root cause is the fight that's at home. And the worst of all things is that he's going to be fighting with his wife and not friendly with her, but he'll be friendly with other women. So now Shaitan knows which stroke to use for which person. I need to use a stroke, but which person? So he's fighting here, but he's going to be good, loving to other women. So he's got the person where he wants it. And he'll think to himself, I'm just being compassionate, you know. So he's doing the wrong, and he's covered up for himself as well. He doesn't know that he's in haram. He doesn't realize that he's in something that is heinous, shameful. No, I'm just showing some compassion, some love. It's a weaker person, you know. So therefore, I'm just showing her some consideration. So Shaitan got you where he wants. But where he started off from here, you're supposed to show the love to the wife. And you didn't show the love to the wife, then that love now has been shown to someone else. You go to a restaurant and it's a woman that is serving you, my dear, thank you, give a nice tip and have your phone number, etc. Right? So it's shown where it's not supposed to be shown. Where it's haram to be shown, then you're not showing it. And the one that deserved all the compliments, all the love and attention, you're not showing it. So he got you. So shaitan doesn't come to every individual in one and the same way. These pious people, good people, they perform namaz and they left the masjid. As they left the masjid, so they want some entertainment. So you want one entertainer. In every group, they have one person to entertain. So you'll know which buttons to press. So the good thing or the thing that people find pleasure in is some type of fight, some type of ghibat, running down someone, which person we can pull out, you know, and then make him the target of our discussion today. So pull out someone and let him have it. He did this and see what the WhatsApp says and see what the media, social media says about him. But how could he do such a thing? And it's possible that the person is totally innocent, doesn't know about it. Absolutely innocent, doesn't know anything, and people have taken him to the cleaners. So, you see how the shaitan works. He's got very, very ajeeb and gharib, unique, strange ways how to mislead the person. Some person will take him on and say, all right, hey, you know what, now life is too stressful. Let's look at one video clip and the second one, and then before he knows it, and then he's looking at porn. But see the catalyst, where it starts off. It starts off from this point, and then he's as though in the laps of shaitan. Shaitan is then manipulating him. How he manipulates. So different ways, ajeeb, gharib, very unique ways how to mislead. Sometimes it's ghibat, sometimes it's gossip, sometimes viewing some haram, right? But all just to derail the person. And he'll look for a way that is suited for that victim or that candidate, right? Whoever he chose, and how must I mislead him? الَّذِينَ ظَلَّ سَعْيُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ سُنَعًا. They lost all their deeds. Whatever they did, they lost. And وَيَحْسَبُونَ, and they think they're doing wonderful. They lost their works, but they think they're doing wonderful. Going for Umrah, now let me start off with the hostess, admire her, see the uniform, and see the dress. Dubai, you know, Dubai culture, look at it, so nice how it looks. So shaitan gets you from a dimension you can't think of how he gets you. One person is in the Haram Sharif and he comes across an Indonesian crowd. Normally they, perhaps for identification purposes, they sit all together in one group. So you'll have about 1,000 of them sitting in one place. Women will be on one side, the men will be one side. So this person now is a little bit religious conscious. So he says to his friend, Zara, after seeing those Indonesian women, Zara in Ma'asum Chehro ko dekho. Look at those faces, you know, how innocent they are. See how shaitan got him, how innocently. Shaitan got him, and how he got him, so innocently got him. He broke his innocence. And he doesn't even realize, يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ سُنَا. They're doing the wrong, but they don't realize that they are sitting in the laps of shaitan. So in different ways, one way or the other, he creates a need for you. You know what? You have to upgrade your car. Can't be driving this all the time. And what will people tell? And then some member of the family also will say the same thing. But you know, you can't carry on like this. What people will think? You're dropping your child at school with this old model car. And what will people think? You must have some respect amongst people. They mustn't look at you as a broken down Johnny. So now, to buy a new car, you need that type of finance. So then you have to go for some financing. Financing means interesting. Right? That's what it amounts to. Somehow or the other, that's what it amounts to. But he gets you on that line. Now, on the side of the salesman, he also is outwardly got a beard, namaz, etc. But he will lead you and direct you to the financier. So he's in haram, person that wants to buy a new car, he's in haram. But how shaitan misleads? Different ways he's got just to mislead. I was thinking of this verse, you know. Ya ayyuhar rusulu kulu min at-tayyibat wa amalu saliha. Acche acche khao aur acche acche kaam karo. Allah Ta'ala addresses the Anbiya as though they were all sitting in one group, in one gathering. Allah Pak is addressing them, eat well and work well. Kulu min at-tayyibat wa amalu saliha. Allah Pak made you, so he knows your needs. He knows that you need fuel. Without fuel, you can't work, you can't operate. So eat well. The food is your fuel, right? And do good works as well. But don't eat so much now, so well, that you begin to feel bilious and hiccups and belching, namaz time, or the adrak and lahan, everything is coming out. Not so much now. Eat well. Eat well means you eat your stomach full, not your heart's desire. The problem comes just here, I think about merely how many, about 25 centimeters perhaps. That's the problem. That you eat your stomach's full, not your heart's full. You don't eat for your eyes, you eat for your stomach. So this is where the mistake happens. You get the varieties, so many these things, that things, and then you want to eat. Taste of this, taste of this, taste of this. And by the time you ended up, then you're feeling bilious, you overate. The whole day now, the roza, you have to manage it. But the whole mind is on the stomach. Stomach is not right. So eat. That food is treated as a fuel. Then you won't overeat. I got enough fuel now, I can move on. Let me carry on. But you take it as an entertainment, as a joy. Then you know, end up overeating. And then there's going to be the problem whole day. So you don't overeat and you don't undereat. Sometimes people go to the other extreme. To strike the balance is a difficult thing in life. You undereat, then you find yourself weak, you find a weakness within you. So people then encourage all of us, undereat, let's eat less, eat less, eat less, right? This people that go into this dieticians, right? And undereat, undereat, right? Now the person doesn't have the energy, doesn't have the strength to do work. So, both are problems, under-eating and over-eating. Those that will under-eat, they say, no, you'll become more pious, you'll become more righteous. But now, you don't realize, when you don't have the energy, then you will depend on someone else for your works. Because you can't do your work yourself, feeling weak. But the person that eats moderately and well, he can do his work and he can do the work of others as well. So what's better? Undereat, eat moderately, eat well, so that you're good for your work and you can be of service to others as well. So Allah Ta'ala addresses the assembly of Anbiya, acche khao or acche kaam karo, eat well and do good work as well. It's eat well means eat well, that's well for your body. Well doesn't mean well for your eyes. Eat well for your body. What's good for your body, eat that much. And eat well means eat pure, clean, halal. Not something that is haram or contaminated. If the system is going to be filled with haram, then there's going to be haram that's going to be flowing out. If there's going to be halal that's going to be filled up, then halal will flow out. It's a natural consequence. Natural consequence. You're filling with haram, haram will come out. You're filling with halal, halal will come out. Some years back, maybe about 24, 25 years back, Umari Sahib Rahmatullahi, some other ulama were sitting, and they asked Umari Sahib Rahmatullahi, why is it we see so much of dispute within Muslims, and even amongst people that are doing dini work, and then there's fights, disputes, arguments, etc. Whereas we see in the former people, there weren't this type of disputes. And we also see the former, there was so much of dini work. You know, few people, so much of work, so much of work. Hundreds and thousands of people they led. And now you have so many people and you can't correctly guide a few people. Before you had few and you were dispensing so much of hidayat. Now you have so much and few people also we can't guide. We can't turn them right. So what's the problem? There must be some problem. So he says, previously what used to happen, people used to work by this, they used to eat with the sweat of the brow, halal, clean, less money. And this was the money that was used for dini activities, madrasas, masjids, maktabs, jamaats, etc. This was the type of money that was used, sweat of the brow, clean, pure, halal. They earned that and they contributed that. Then people forgot the lesson of contentment. Qanaat and contentment went out of their lives. Then they went at figures. And I often say, aajkal ka jhagda to figures ka hai. The whole dispute is about figures, both figuratively and literally. Figures. Just think about it, the whole fight, the whole commotion, all commotion is because of figures. Literally and figuratively, both just figures. So the whole dispute is just about the figure. I got so much, you got so much. I need to have more. Figure. Thinking to ourselves that that's the stepping stone to acceptance. That figure got nothing to do with acceptance. Absolutely nothing to do with acceptance. You got it, so what? And you don't have it, so what? You don't have it, maybe you are still in a better position. Because this figure's wealth is supposed to be your provision for the road, right? Take you safely wherever you go. And you got too much of provisions, it's a problem. Imagine now you're going on a hike, right? Just imagine you're going on a hike. And you'll need to cover the distance within a period. Right? And he's got a back, what do they call it? Back? Backpack. He's got 40 kilos. Right? And he's got something, say 5 kilos. Who will reach earlier easily? 40 or 5? Probably the one that's got 5. He needs to cover the distance in a limited amount of time. He's got little, he will reach easily, comfortably, and in good time. The one that's got so much, he's stressing. He can't stop at intervals. So it's possible that the person who's got less, he may reach earlier, easier, more comfortable. But the person that's got a load, then he has to worry about himself and worry about the load as well. So this applies to our deen as well, our immigrations of the hereafter. You got a bigger load, then the interrogation process will be more complicated. Where do you get this money from? How do you spend it? See, the first questions on the day of Qiyamah, where did you earn it and how did you spend it? Where do you earn it and how do you can't move until you don't give an account. This is where I earned it, and this I'm spending it. You can't give an account, you can't move from the spot. Everything from the time that you know yourself, where this money came from, and how do you spend it? Where it came, and how do you spend it? So, we think to ourselves, in our minds, immature and weak minds, that the person, he's good, good footing. So, we can work with that person. If it's a marriage, then that person we should favor. You know? So everything is material. We calculate things, we work out things just on material basis. Whether that person is earning halal, haram, whatever the nature of the person, that's immaterial. Whether he's working amongst women, you know, let's say, corporate environment, we have to work, right? He's getting mixed up, he's doing halal, haram, not concerned. But the money must come. That wealth must come. And many of us, and in fact all of us can do with little less, but now we want that figure. So for that figure, I notice, you're looking for a figure, you have to compromise your deen. At some point, you have to compromise your deen. So I was explaining, shaitan doesn't mislead everybody in one simple way. For every person, he's got a different approach, different way. Person is happy in a marriage, and his eyes are not straying, then let's break that now. That happy relationship where his eyes are not straying and he's going straight now, put him into the chakkar of money. When he's in that money now, then he's going to a corporate environment. When he's in a corporate environment, you have to be free. It's a certain type of a ethos that you have to keep up to, right? And in that keeping up to that ethos, then you lose everything. You see, how are you? All right, do you have a fine day? Let's shake hands. So all these things, one thing starts, one thing moves on to the other. You're looking at her, admiring her. Your dress looks quite nice, man. Smart, where did you get it from? And then she starts off, and whatever. But you see how it starts off? At this point, it starts off. So you get disinterested in your halal, in the wife, and you get interested in haram. You got halal meat, halal, pure, clean, tayyib, you got that. But you will leave that and you go for pork. Is it making sense? Halal, you left that out and you went for pork. Same. So shaitan, this is how he tastabdiluna alladhi huwa adna billadhi huwa khayr. You go for the inferior things, leaving out the better things. Inferior, rejected, contaminated. So shaitan looks for that way. And for the other class of religious people, how he affects you is that he gets you in futile discussions. You'll see this especially at the time of i'tikaf. Three places you'll see it: i'tikaf, jamaat, or umrah and hajj. Because in all these three places, the common thing is you've got a lot of free time. Right? Hajj or umrah, you've got some free time. I'tikaf, there's free time. Right? And the third, what is it? Jamaat, yeah, free time. So now, shaitan is looking for ways how to occupy your time. That old style, you've got that rigid talim, you've got talim from 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock. 12 o'clock, you're already tired now, freshen up, go to toilet, wuzu, already namaz. After namaz, another bayan, then there's no time for anything else. After meals, you go and sleep, right? And you get up, you know, gush, khususi gush. And then talim. And then after maghrib, you know, umumi gush. By time everything happens, it's already isha time. You've got no time to loiter. Now, with the new style, I got the social media, the talim is too long, man. 3 hours talim is too long. So you wrap the whole thing up in 1 hour, now 2 hours left. So the social media comes out. What's happening? So you see the time being used, misused. And this is amongst the sifat of the mu'min. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُؤْرِدُونَ Allah Pak speaks about the believer that he doesn't get himself involved in things that are futile. No. Cut it off. Anything that is futile. But go and speak to your wife. You need to speak, wife and children. Like I said, when you're not going to use the time in the right places, then you're going to be using it in the wrong places. You want to show some love and attention, show it to your wife and children. But you come home and you, then summum bukun, quiet, silence. But that love and friendship is for everybody else. Who deserves your love and attention? You didn't show. You don't show it to your wife, you don't show it to your children, but yes, the person that's an outsider, you show him all the love and the attention. So you're supposed to be showing love to your child, to your wife, to your parents, right? Immediate people. These are the people that you're supposed to be showing. But now, see, it's old now. I'm getting bored of this type of relationship. Something new. So all the time goes to the friend. These people that work for you, they labor for you, they work for you, they labor for you, they focus towards you, they don't get your time. They don't get your attention. They don't get your love. These people that are strangers, they get all your love and attention. They get everything of you. So you see, when shaitan misleads, how he misleads. So he's calculated, he looks now. This person, how must I get him? وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّهُ مُؤْدِنُونَ As Mawla Idris Kandalbi Rahmatullahi explains this verse. عَنِ اللَّهُ مُؤْدِنُونَ In other words, لَهُ will refer to, when we're talking about futile, what it refers to? It refers to activities that do not relate to your akhirat. relates to discussions, activities that don't relate to your akhirat. So something relates to your akhirat directly, and some things relate to your akhirat indirectly. Directly, namaz, roza, Quran Sharif, zikr, that relates to your akhirat directly. And indirectly, it relates to your akhirat, not directly, but indirectly. So you have to eat, but don't you have to eat? Fuel, you have to fuel, you're driving to Cape Town. So the petrol pump is not the goal, but you have to go to it to be able to accomplish the journey. You didn't go to the petrol pump, you can't go, can't complete. So indirectly you require to eat. But the eating wasn't the actual goal. But then the eating becomes the actual goal. Don't you see at a party, right? Read the namaz quickly, man. You know, you have to go to the brine now, it's getting cold. So at the brine you can sit 1.5 hours. Namaz, hey, let's wrap it up quickly, man. The meat is getting cold. We were Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi on journey. So one sati suggested, Hazrat, we'll read our namaz quickly, and then itminan ko bed karke hum khana khayenge. One statement. The Buzurgada, they very, very sharp, very smart, sharp, not shrewd, but they are very alert, very alert. Hands on. All the time you're hands on. So Hazrat's statement is Islam was unique. He says, Musliman kab se itminan ke saath bed karke khana khata hai? Itminan ke saath to namaz padhta hai, lekin kab se itminan ke saath bed karke khana khata hai? So where do you find the mu'min sitting peacefully and eating, relaxing, 1 hour, 2 hours, bring the savory, that ice cream, the tea, the chips, the biscuit, right? And the end of everything else, the sukmuk. The cherry on the top. Doesn't finish. So 1.5 hour, 2 hours go. But that masjid now is 15 minutes. Hey, too long, man. Why am I taking too long? So long. You can't shorten the qirat also. We have to come, so we have to show us his qirat. So we'll have all type of comments. But sitting in the masjid, relaxing and performing namaz, that becomes a burden. But sitting at some social site, there you can pull 1 hour, 2 hours, talk, eat, drink. So that mu'min, where does he find himself sitting, relaxing and eating? Yes, in namaz he's relaxed. He's relaxed, he's comfortable. Quran Sharif recitation, zikr, he's relaxed. Coming to the masjid, coming and going out on his own time, 1/2 hour he's pulling. Eating, alright, a little bit you have to eat now. You need that little bit of fuel. It's just going to the garage and fueling up. So he's just going and fueling up and moving on. So the food is taken as the fuel. It's not taken as one of the goals in life. Now it becomes a goal. It becomes the one of the objectives. So we missed the whole point. See the shaitan, how he misleads. Lahu mu'ridun. And to understand love, our Buzhagan, it's nice to look at their words, what they say about love. Love, in other words, things that are not required. Futile, right? One more time around, says, to upgrade now. You got furniture and equipment, but now to upgrade that old one, just throw it out. Upgrade. This is also love, he says. Futile. That is, it is service, it is serving the purpose. Why do you need to throw it away? It is fulfilling the work, doing your work. Why do you need to throw it away? Why must you replace it? It was a different thing. It wasn't doing your work. Now it's doing your work, but you throw that away and upgrade it. But isn't this waste? Isn't this israf? Isn't this wastage? And Allah Pak says, I don't love you. Now you say, no, your wife loves you. But Allah Pak says, I don't like you. Kya fayda? If Allah Pak says, you did the furniture and everything else, whatever you did now, and after everything is done, said and done, and Allah Pak says, I don't like you. Kya fayda hua? Is there any good in that spending of that money? I don't like you. You bought that present for your wife, and then at the end she says, but I don't like you. Is there any meaning after that? You brought so much, you went to Dubai, you brought whatever. But she says, I don't like you. Any meaning? And if Allah Pak says, I don't like you, then can there be any meaning to life? You wasted. And Allah Pak is saying at the end, I don't like you. So Allah Muhammad says, this upgrading, changing. You got it, now use that thing. It's a different thing, it's totally broken now. Can't use it any longer, it's a different thing. But it's using it, then why do you need to replace it? And in today's context, for contemporary times, one great work of love, right, is this shopping culture. Malling, shopping culture that has come into the community. Before it wasn't. If you look at our people, about 40 years ago, 40, 45 years ago, you didn't see all this type of malling and shopping culture. Now it's coming. Molana, no Molana, Hafez Saab, Kari Saab, everybody. Go with the wife, go to the shopping. Where we'll meet? We'll meet at that mall, sitting there, having tea, sipping tea or coffee. Right? Is that the place? The Hadith says, that don't be the first person to be in the shopping area, and the last person to come out, because that's where Shaitan breeds his young, his nursery, his hatchery is all day. His nursery and his hatchery is in the bazaar, is in the shopping area. But then that's the best place to be socializing. And Shaitan gets us so well, he gets us going. We're going to meet, there, at a coffee shop. Our time is going, money is going. And then we have to dress up for that occasion because there are going to be smart-looking girls there, people with smart clothing, so your wife has to dress up and you have to dress up. She's admiring the men, and you admiring the woman. So you came back now, and you're not interested in her, and she's not interested in you. That same money could have been used in a better way. You want to socialize, we don't stop. Islam doesn't stop you. But in a better way, better form. Right? Jamaats are coming in your area, right? So what a great thing to host them. Right? Host them, feed them, 1 day, 2 days. If it's a Mastura Jamaat coming, your wife also wants to socialize, right? She wants to mix up. Say, you know, I will insist that Jamaat must stay at my house. So what about you? So no, all right, that 1-2 days I'll stay in the masjid. But your time is going well, your money is well spent, and you feeling fulfilled, alhamdulillah, I spend the money. The money went in a good way. Rather just going to the mall, a shopping area, wasting my time, my money, my energy, and my deen also is going. Everything is getting washed out. Because shaitano ka adda hai. It's amongst the shaitan's centers. It's a shaitanic center. Are you going there? You're going to lose everything. Obviously, you're going to lose. You're going to spend more than what you have budgeted. You're lost. But you think, no, I went to this place here. I saw this. And then you come home and you calculate maybe half of the things that you bought was not really required, but you had to go there. As though in the qabr, the munkar nakir will ask you, but you know, there's a new shopping area open up, galleria, you know. Did you go there? Didn't go there, now I mark you off, 50 marks down. If you're not going, then the wife will take you. And your wife is not taking you, then your child will take you. But you know, everybody can go there, only we must be left out. So you're not going, then your wife. I asked one young boy, he came to make Islam, you know. Must have been about 14, 15. So they look at it, I asked him, any wrong temptations? He said, yeah. I'm tempted to look at girls. So, but where did this start off? So he says, my father is a Hafez Saab, he's teaching at a madrasa, etc. But when he goes to a shopping area, then he takes me with. Now I'm coming of age. He must realize that I'm coming of age. He's going doing the shopping for stuffs, and I'm doing shopping for something else. Looking around here, how this girl is dressed, and how that one is dressed. Now my eye is just running away. My mind is just dreaming. And that child can't talk to his father that this was happening to me. But now I think to myself, I'm analyzing in my mind, now this child here is in such a quandary. Do you know what trouble he's going through? Because when he's looking at all these things here, that energy is building up, that adrenaline is building up. And he can't that he can't go past that adrenaline. That adrenaline, until he's about 24, marriageable age, then only that adrenaline will be used up. It's toughed up. But you see the complication the father has created for this child. I'll tell you that in his education he goes back. In his performance he's back. He can't get into a depression. In his mood, there'll be mood swings. Everything is going back. But where he started off, the father, in all his love and compassion, he wanted to show him some love, take him to the shopping area. Shaitano ka adda, the center for shaitans. Is that a place to socialize? If you need to, take the jamaat. Such an easy way. Feed them. Or there are some pious people in that area, bring them home. La ya'kulu ta'amaka illa taqiyun. Ulama came, some program they had. So you call them. They spoke something about deen. They spoke something about deen. I was looking at one muhaddis. I think his surname, his title is Riasi or Usi. Riasi. Riasi. Abdul Karim Riasi. So much of work he's done, you know. So much work. So then I was looking, all right, where was the catalyst? Where this started off from? So this Riasi came up. Those that of you that stayed in India, in Surat and all that, right? So what happens there is the meat is cut fresh and served fresh. There's no such thing as refrigeration. So they will have one shop where they will prepare the paya, sira, one shop. He's only, what is specializing? Paya. What do you call it? Trotters. Trotters. Now, three quarters of people don't know how to make paya also. There's so many things in that animal to eat, you know. Paya, eat that paya, your limbs will strengthen. Eat that besha, your mind will strengthen. Right? Someone will extend the analogy. Eat the eyes, the eyes will strengthen. But I mean, when the women are spending the time here, they're going to be running around everywhere else. Now, all this requires time to make paya. It requires a lot of time. So they don't have the time for that. You don't have the time for that, and they don't have the time. But what you're supposed to be eating, you're not eating. Then you have to look for supplements. This tablet, and that capsule, same supplements, you look for it there. And you don't know what they're filling it up with. They'll give you some heavy scientific name, you don't know what it is. Maybe it's pig's liver, right? You're taking it, hey, this thing is terrific. Give you the strength. But what is coming from, you don't know what it is. The time that you seek, now you just need to take the thing. It may be ojiri, pig's ojiri, the thing maybe. And you're taking it for a stomach ailment. You don't know what it is. So this Abdul Karim Riasi, so he used to specialize in this paya and all that, olden days I'm talking of. So some ulama came around, he saw now this was an alim. So he fed them very well, you know, more than he would feed a normal guest, a normal client. That was his business. He fed them very well and didn't charge him for the 3 days that he was around, didn't charge him. So that alim made dua for him, that may Allah Ta'ala keep deen shining in your family. As a result, for about 7-8 generations, what happened, all his children were all ulama, muhaddiseen, great, great leaders of deen. Both, Allah blessed them in deen and dunya. But a small act. See now, these avenues you can socialize. People coming around, ulama coming around in your area, a jamaat coming around, some dini work is taking place, invite them. You'll have someone to talk to. They'll advise you. They'll advise your child. You'll get some ideas, all right, this is what I need to be doing. The better thing is to go for 4 months, whatever. But you can't do all that. At least 1 day, 2 days, at least call the person home. Ulama that are there, call them. You build up an affinity. Now your money is going, your time is going, but in the right places. Otherwise, it is going in either social media, paying 200, 300, 500, 1,000 on that, or going to the shopping areas and wasting your money there and time there. Yeah, it's going constructive. Your feeling for deen is increasing. Your motivation for the right things are increasing all the time. So you see shaitan and how he misleads. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّهُ مُعْرِضُونَ. So love will refer to anything that doesn't help you directly in your deen or indirectly. It doesn't help you in your journey to the akhirat. directly or indirectly. That will amount to lahu. Another example that I normally say I give, you know, to understand lahu, that will make it easy for us to apply. Imagine there's a group of people that are racing in the marathon from Maritzburg to Durban, right? So, en route, at intervals, they'll have some places where they'll give some drinks, something for you to just refurbish yourself, right? Something to just replenish yourself. That's all right. You can go, have something, replenish yourself, and you come complete the race. But now imagine at intervals from Maritzburg to Durban, there is Alliance Park, there's one circus there, and there's some Hashim Amla playing cricket that side, and someone else, something else going on. Now someone says, oh, he's a Muslim, you know, must support the Muslims, right? And he's in the marathon one side, and he's going to see the cricket that side, 2-hour match, right? What will he say? Is he on cause? But I'm supporting a Muslim, but what do you say? Yeah? I'm on cause, off cause. Yeah? Off the cause, obviously. Everybody knows the reason. There we know, we know that that's the reason. So exactly, that one is directly related, one is indirectly. Directly related to the race is racing, right? Indirectly, that little bit of replenishing. But going for Hashim Amla, and going for that Lions Park and the circus, whatever else, that's totally off. Totally off. Right? Now that's love. Useless. Things that don't relate. And then this thing becomes a culture on its own. Then from the beginning of the year, right, from the beginning of the year, people are then budgeting, you know, for the end of the year, December coming, this holiday coming. What, where are we going to go? What are we going to do? How are we going to spend money and time? So from the beginning of the year, the money is collected for budgeting for that holiday, where you're going to be wasting your time. Where there's going to be a lot of wrongs that's going to take place. You ask an average person, average Muslim, not ordinary person, when he goes to cabanas or bananas, right? He goes there for a holiday. What is the ethos like? People come here, at a holiday time, people come make mulaqat. So I just, out of curiosity, what do y'all do this? You know, swimming and all that. What happens in the swimming area? There's men, women, everybody coming. Muslim, oh yeah, Muslim woman also. And they got shorts till here. The whole shin bone is open. This thing coming a little bit low. Right. So you're in that environment. You've got kurta wala, dari wala, all this nangi orat wali. Everybody, like a kachumar, everybody's mixed up there. Everybody's mixed up. So you've been spending, you've been saving for this. So if you're not going to be using your wealth, time, energy, etc. in the right way, you're going to definitely use it in the wrong way. What you've earned, the sawab that you've earned in the year, everything is lost. Now, after that holiday, you feel much more miserable. To get realigned to your work, you find it difficult. To come to the masjid again becomes difficult. Everything becomes difficult. See, this is where shaitan gets you. So we think that, you know, shaitan only gets you one, two places. What? Not doing namaz on time. That's obviously bad. But it's all other places where shaitan gets you. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُؤْرِضُونَ. It's useless activities. So we're talking about this verse, كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَعَمَلُوا صَالِحًا. Eat well, eat pure, and work pure. Eat good, and work good. Achche khao, achche kaam karo. So as though the Quran Sharif is telling us, achche khayenge, to achche kaam karenge. You'll eat right, you'll work right. You won't eat right, then you won't work right. Simple, eat pure. And eat pure, eat good, and work well. Work well, work good. As though there's a connection. Eating good and working good, there's a connection. The third problem in this zaman, I'm talking of, to explain two problems. The third problem is not being content with your lot. It's a strange thing. It's a very strange thing that rozi Allah Ta'ala has taken on himself. I will provide. Right? I will provide. That's The Quran says, "Ma min dabbatin fil ardi illa 'ala Allahi rizqha." But your deen you have to work for. But rosy I will provide. So he's taken the assurance, he's guaranteed you the rosy, right? But what he's asked you work right. So we reverse the whole thing. How we applied the whole thing, how we applied ourselves, we applied it like this. For deen, we trust Allah Ta'ala. He'll send us to Jannah. They're not worried about it. Why? We trust in Him. He's Ghafoor Rahim, so we trust Him. Dunya, no, we have to work for it. Send the child for 14 years to school, then he must take up a career, and then he must work hard, right? Then become financially strong, stable, right? So, for dunya, there we worked hard. Right? For deen, we trusted Allah Ta'ala, entrusted the whole deen to Him. Akhirat, we entrusted to Him. But deen, what we did, entrusted, and dunya, we have to work hard for it. Is that right? Is it keeping to the ethos and the spirit of the Quran Sharif? Quran Sharif is saying something totally different. Deen, you're going to work for. Aradal akhirata wa sa'alaha. Jahidu fillah. Strive. And here he says, "Ma min dabbatin fil ardi illa 'ala Allahi rizqha." Yet I have to come across a verse of the Quran Sharif which says, "Strive hard for the dunya." I don't know, Mullah Zahir must have come across that ayat. I didn't come across it yet. Anyway, But for deen, doesn't he say, "Jahidu, arad al akhirata wa sa'alaha," strive for it. So the whole thing, we have reversed the whole thing. Allah Pak grant us tawfiq. There's a few days left now. The right thing is after this, for 5 minutes, 6 minutes, we sit in isolation, think about what we are talking and discussing, and then see, all right, where I'm going off. Try and correct, make some resolutions in the house of Allah Ta'ala, before Allah Ta'ala, then cry to Allah Ta'ala, these are my mistakes. I need to rectify myself, I need to correct myself. Show me a plan, guide me. Forgive me for the past, and guide me for the future. Allah Pak tawfiq.